God's 7,000-Year Kingdom Seminar. You will see the Bible come alive as you see the centuries unfold before your eyes. Dr. Dorothy C. Youngblood, co-founder of Conservative Theological University, will present a 7,000-year world history and Bible timeline, revealing God's world history, past, present, and future. Recommended for pastors, Christian school teachers, Bible students, and homeschoolers. It all happens Saturday, August 27th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. A light lunch will be provided. Registration is $99 and includes syllabus, lecture, and the light lunch. You will never view the Bible in the same way after you attend this powerful, informative seminar presentation. It's God's 7,000-Year Kingdom Seminar with Dr. Dorothy C. Youngblood. Saturday, August 27th. Register now. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. That's 1-800-GO-BIBLE.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on two stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the theological, doctrinal, biblical subject. There are none righteous. None righteous. The scripture says that. There's none righteous. No, not one. None that doeth good. Romans, the 3rd chapter, verses 10 through 13. I believe we have Mike on the line. Mike, go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood. Good to talk with you. My brother John, he and I are having some conversation back and forth via mailing text, which I prefer not to do, about, let's say, some missing or unfound personal property. So I've asked some questions back and forth, and just questions and things like that, just ask questions just so I can gain some understanding. And I've also shared my faith with him. He professes also to be a Christian. Things that I get back from him is that I'm stupid, ridiculous, I need to shut up, that I have a red flag issue, that I have, am a mental case or something like that. And I've shared with him, Matthew, witness, my faith, and also shared with him from the book of Matthew. Matthew 5, Jesus teaching the Beatitudes, you know, if you have aught with your brother, you know, go be reconciled before you bring your gift to the altar.
Right.
And he's coming back with me that I'm being self-righteous, I'm being sanctimonious, and some other issues. And I don't know that I'm being self-righteous or holier than thou. I'm just not trying. Maybe I am, maybe I'm not. So I'm just trying to gain some understanding of that. Does this make a little bit of sense to you? Kevin, you help me out with some of that and how we're talking about righteous today. I know there's not one, which, no, not
there's,
one.
There's none righteous, no, not one. Let me drill down a little further, Mike, if you don't mind, for just a moment. If you could, in a succinct statement, ask the question. I know what you've said and what you're talking about, but I don't quite grasp the actual question that you have.
Well, I guess am I being self-righteous, I guess, in my sharing my faith and trying to gain some understanding. I've also forgiven my brother for things said and done, and I've asked for his forgiveness. So I'm just trying. Am I being self-righteous? Am I being a righteous man? In the wrong way.
I think what you're saying is absolutely correct and on target. As far as doing the right thing biblically, going to the brother, trying to make things right between the brothers, so there's not the alienation and the separation, especially as two brothers in Christ, that it ought to be. If there's aught with the brother, you go to the brother, you try to win the brother according to the scripture. And by the way, you go to the 18th chapter of the book of Matthew, you find that that is the follow-up with what you're saying also. So there's not an act of self-righteousness in that. That is simply saying that I'm simply going to follow the Bible and be obedient to the scripture. Now, when it comes to the quote self-righteousness, that's the Pharisaical attitude. In fact, Jesus talked about, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees, you're still going down and go to hell. The Pharisees' righteousness was based on the law, and they were simply following the law. It was not based on love. And what I hear you saying, that it's born out of love that you want to be right with your brother and you want to reach your brother. It's simply sharing the faith. And as long as we're alive and well on planet Earth in sharing the faith, there'll be those that's going to counter it, challenge it, disagree with it, and want to, as the world calls it, want to diss us as a result of doing so. Pastor Davis, what is your take on that?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, the scripture says that when we conduct ourselves out of context with the scripture, that we have not so learned Christ.
Right.
Or in other words, we did not learn that from Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Now, on to what the brother is saying, there's always going to be a conflict with that, especially when others let pride cause them to not fully understand their brother in Christ or their sister. Satan uses that as a toehold to cause division in the body all the time.
Yes.
So for that reason, brother, you are approaching it on the right grounds.
Absolutely.
By using the word of God as the standard, as Dr. Youngblood just got finished saying, there has to be a standard, not my standard, not your standard, but it has to be God's standard.
That's the plumb line.
And his standard is his word.
That's right.
So once we use the word of God to help us to alleviate any kind of situation that we're having complications with, then we have done our whole duty first toward God and to our brother man.
Yes.
And then, Dr. Youngblood, just to say this a little bit before I let you go ahead, he said, as much as life and you live peaceably with all men.
That's right.
Once you have went and presented yourself to him, and then you have tried to make peace with him, if he doesn't accept what you're trying to do with him, then that's on him. That's between him and God, not between you and him.
You've done all this.
So let God sell that situation and keep praying that your brother will come to the light.
But now, Mike, let me finalize the thought with this. What we're dealing with here would be what I would call two theological subjects. One is the subject of holiness. The other is the subject we're talking about today of righteousness. What you're doing is an act of holiness before God. That does not measure what we're talking about in relationship to that being righteous. It's an impossibility for us to be righteous. There's none righteous, no, not one. In fact, in Isaiah 64, verse 6, it says, all of our righteousness is as filthy rags, as God sees it. So all of our good works, all of our good deeds, all of our church activities, all of our denominational precepts and principles will not make one righteous. But, Mike, I think that the challenge should be simply continue to pray for your brother in Christ, continue to do what's right, and once you've done what's right, it's out of your hands. But, Mike, thank you so much for your call, and may you keep looking up. The scripture says our redemption draweth nigh.
He is my brother and family as well, my biological brother. And I also refer to Psalms 139, search me, O Lord,
if I have
any wicked ways in me. I continue to do that just to make sure I'm
right before God.
Peel back everything that I can, and when I know I'm wrong, I admit it before God and to others.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Thank you, Mike. God bless you.
Thank you. Yes, sir. Thank you, brothers.
I have to take a moment and read for our listeners today Matthew 5:20. Matthew 5:20, I think, is a good text in relationship to where we're going. All of our good deeds, all of our good works, all of our church membership, all that's done in denominational precepts and principles will not make an individual righteous. What does Matthew 5:20 say? It's part of the Beatitudes.
Amen. He says here, "For I say unto you," and he's speaking unto the people of God,
right,
"that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven."
That's a pretty powerful
statement. And Dr. Youngblood, I mean, that moves me so much.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I did the study on the scribes, how they valued the word of God so much,
right,
to where when they copied the word of God, I don't care if they had copied a 10-foot thick page book, mm-hmm, and when they got down to the last page where they were trying to finish up, if they made a mistake on that one page, they tore the whole book up.
Mm-hmm.
Because the word of God was precious.
Right.
It was just that valuable to them, mm-hmm, in their sight. So our righteousness must exceed that.
Mm-hmm.
And they only were basing their feelings on the law.
Right.
Simply because they knew that the law was the word of God, but they didn't realize here in the New Testament times now, grace and truth came, amen, through Jesus Christ.
Right.
So Christ came and fulfilled all the law when he died upon the cross.
Right.
And he wanted to let them know that. But they were still stuck on the past, trying to keep the law, when all of this had already been fulfilled, oversaid, and done when Christ died on the cross.
That's it. That's a good transition thought there,
amen,
Pastor Davis, because the question then begs to be asked and demand to be answered. Can man be righteous? Is it possible for mankind, for a human being, to be able to say, "I am righteous"? Ladies and gentlemen, we want to talk about the third major point in that subject, in that question, the determination of righteousness. What determines righteousness? The requirement to believe God. Pastor, read for our listeners Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15, read the first six verses in Genesis chapter 15, and we'll see what the scripture says. It's the starting point. It is the, if you please, the premier of what would be called righteousness. Determining righteousness is based on two or three very simple things biblically.
Amen. Genesis 15 to start at 1.
1 through 6.
Okay. Says here, "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision."
Mm-hmm.
That's what's got to happen to us. The word of God has got to come to us.
Right.
Amen. Praise God. "Saying, fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness."
Righteousness. Here's the picture, ladies and gentlemen, that unit of thought, verses 1 through 6. Abraham had no heirs, no seed, and yet he was up in age, and he was asking God, and here the scripture says that God promised him heirs as the sand of the sea. Yet Abraham was stricken in years, my terms, not the scripture. So what did Abraham do? He simply believed God.
Amen.
God promised him that he was going to send him seed. God promised him that he was going to send those heirs. And Abraham simply believed God. And the scripture says, and God credited that, or counted that, his belief counted, considered his belief,
amen,
in God. And what God said was considered righteousness.
Amen. Amen.
So,
amen.
So, Pastor Davis, may I just simply summarize it? We've got several of the texts we'll look at. But the first thing to be considered righteous, it's not our righteousness, but it's the saying that we simply believe God.
Amen.
It is the requirement of believing God. First of all, number one, we must believe, pistuo, place our faith and our trust in God. And secondly, it's the result of faith in God.
Galatians,
find Galatians, Pastor Davis, chapter 3, and read verses 7, 8, and 9.
Amen.
The text here refers to Abraham that we just read, refers back to Abraham, and Abraham's placing his faith in God, and that was considered in the New Testament as righteousness, as we spoke of just a moment ago.
Amen.
His faith in the Lord is what made him righteous.
Amen. And can I add right there, Dr. Youngblood, also, Abram didn't understand everything about God.
That's right, but he believed it.
All it took was just that one seed of faith.
That's right.
Just to believe.
That's it.
And everything that God had promised to him was going to come to pass. Mm-hmm. Even greater blessing than he could ever imagine. I wonder how he would feel today if he could see how great God has blessed the nation of Israel and the Gentiles and brought us together in one.
That's right.
Simply because he believed.
Amen. That's it.
We are blessed people on today.
People.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Galatians 3, 7 through 9 summarizes what you just said, by the way.
Amen. Galatians 3, 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing, that means to see in advance, that God would justify the heathen through faith, preach before the gospel. Now, this was before Abraham. He didn't even know the gospel was coming.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But here he is. Now, he's believing before the gospel was preached, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham.
Amen.
Praise God.
It is simply pointing out, ladies and gentlemen, that the requirement, the termination now for righteousness, number one, we need to understand there's none righteous, none not one. All of our righteousness is as filthy rags, according to the scripture. Romans 3:10 and Isaiah 64 and verse 6. Matthew 5:20 points out very clearly that our righteousness must exceeed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. So there's a requirement to believe God, according to Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 and following. And according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 7 through 9, it's going back to and pointing us back to the term righteous, that Abraham was considered righteous because he believed God. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me tie up some loose ends. It's an impossibility for you or for me to be righteous. We, all of our righteousness is as filthy rags.
Amen.
There's none righteous, no, not one. So how do we consider, how do we become, how are we to be righteous? Not only there's the requirement to believe in God and the requirement to faith God, those almost synonymous, but the requirement of the cross. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, the Apostle Paul, Pastor Davis, explains it this way. For he, that is God, for he hath made him, that's Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Amen. Amen.
In other words, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ, God incarnate, God come into flesh, it is Jesus Christ that was made to be sin on the cross, took upon himself the sins of the whole world, that we might be made righteous in God, righteous, have the righteousness of God in him that is in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's an impossibility outside of that, ladies and gentlemen. So, Pastor Davis, I think we can say succinctly that it's not our righteousness, but it's Christ's righteousness.
Amen.
And we are in him. And when God sees us, he does not see the wicked, evil sin. He sees us robed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. And we have to forsake, Dr. Youngblood, our own righteousness. The way that we perceive righteousness to be, we have to know that that's rooted in sin.
Yes.
Because it's based upon works.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that the scriptures say faith without works is dead, but notice that faith comes before the works. So if we don't have the faith in God to put along with the works, in other words, Your works must also line up with his word. We cannot expect to receive anything from God.
That's right.
Amen. So it's important for us, even we as preachers on today, mm-hmm. use what we call the Roman road in the book of Romans, chapter 10. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to do verses 9 and 10.
Yes.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Yes.
And that 13th verse says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
That's right.
But it calls for believing mm-hmm. by faith and accepting the righteousness of God by faith.
Absolutely.
Amen.
And when we do that, we're robed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. In fact, in James chapter 5 and verse 20, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?
Amen.
Was not Abraham, our father, justified, that is a legal term, made right by works, when he offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? Sin then, see thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. Verse 23 says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed, hear that word, imputed Amen. Unto him for the righteousness, and he was called the friend of God.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're not righteous, I'm not righteous, but by faith, when we trust, believe, place our trust and faith in Jesus Christ, receive him as personal Savior, we take on the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Without Jesus Christ, it's impossible for man to be righteous.
Amen.
Man is incapable. Pastor Davis, I made this statement. Man is incapable by his sin nature to do that which is righteous, that which is right before God.
Amen.
It takes Christ in us, the hope of glory,
Amen.
The scripture says. It is Christ's righteousness that's imputed. We didn't earn it. We cannot buy it. We cannot be good enough for it, but it's Christ's righteousness imputed to us when we say yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord.
Amen.
By human standards, man believes he's righteous, but in God's eyes, man's righteousness are his filthy rags.
Amen.
Man's
Amen.
Righteousness is only self-righteousness, and that is man's measure. That's how man sees it. Man looks at it on the basis, Pastor Davis, I said earlier in the broadcast, I think that man looking at what is righteousness and am I right? I think what we do so often is we measure our goodness, our righteousness by someone down the street.
Amen.
Someone across the street.
Yeah.
For example, I just made a marginal note for my statement that man will measure his righteousness by looking at others. Man will look at a drunk and say, I'm more righteous than he. Man will look at the drug addict, the prostitute, those on Skid Row, and thus feel so that I am good in and of myself, and I don't have to worry about anything else. In fact, I read an article on that subject, Pastor Davis, that says, as having Christ's righteousness imputed to us does not mean that we automatically do what is right. That will come through the process of sanctification. What it does mean is that we are positionally righteous.
Amen.
Even though we still sin, we are forensically or legally called righteous.
Amen. Amen.
God has credited the righteousness of Christ to our account. And he did this when he saved us in grace by faith. The holiness of Jesus Christ is ascribed to us. Christ has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, our holiness, and our redemption that is found only through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Well, you know, Dr. Youngblood, my pastor told me a long time ago, and I thank God I came up on the old foundation.
Amen.
Praise God. And that's valuable to me right now in the day.
Yes.
I can draw so much wisdom from what they taught us and how they lived it out before us, not just taught us. They lived it out as a living example, a living testimony, and a living witness to encourage us, to strengthen our faith, to let us know if we walk in the same way as they walk. Like Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ.
That's it.
We did that. But my pastor told me a long time ago that a sinner cannot condemn a saint. And the reason why they cannot is because of that very thing that you just got finished saying. Once a saint accepts the righteousness of Jesus Christ by faith, then he's no longer considered guilty before God.
That's right.
Amen.
Justified.
Why? Amen. Just as if.
I'd never seen.
Amen. I just love that. Amen. Yes. I just love that.
Yeah.
Praise
justified,
God.
Justified. Just as if I'd never sinned.
Amen.
And Pastor, here's a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord.
Amen.
So our glory, our praise is to be in the Lord and not in self and what self can do. It is not a matter of what self can do, but what Christ has done in and through us when we say yes to him as Savior and as Lord. See if you can find, for a wrap up, about two verses. Psalm 64:10. Read that for us.
Amen. Psalm 64.
Psalm 64:10.
Psalm 64:10.
Mm-hmm.
And it says here, the righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
That's right. It's a matter, ladies and gentlemen, of coming to the point and place and the realization that all of our righteousness is simply filthy rags.
Amen.
There's none that doeth good, no, not one. It's come to the recognition of the place, ladies and gentlemen, that we are not righteous by good works, not righteous by good deeds. We're not made righteous by simply going to church or doing good thing. We're made righteous through faith and trust in the finished work on Calvary's cross in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Saying yes to him as Savior and as Lord.
Amen.
And then the righteousness of Christ is imputed to us, that is, put to our account, charged to our account, as though it's our righteousness, but it's Christ in us, which is the hope of glory.
Amen.
So, ladies and gentlemen, let me urge you, let me encourage you today, if you say, I'm righteous, need to check up, see if you placed your faith and trust in the Lordship of Jesus Christ, or is it simply self-righteousness of measuring what you do based on what you see others do. Whatever others do, you say, well, I'm not that bad, I'm good. I'm looking at an article that says, by having the righteousness of Christ imputed to us, we can be seen as sinless as Jesus Christ is sinless. This is amazing grace.
Amen.
How sweet
amazing.
The sound.
Praise God.
We're not righteous in ourselves. Rather, we possess Christ's righteousness applied to our account. It is not our perfection, but Christ's perfection in us that God sees when he looks at us.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Amen.
Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.